Dude, awesome job. Awesome job. Welcome, everybody. How you doing today? I am so thankful to be with you. I love that song. You love that song? That song makes me happy, and I like being happy. That song's all about hope, and we're in the middle of a series called Hope Rising, and that song's all about just having a great hope for the future, and so that's what we're going to kind of live in today and discover what real hope is. Before we do that, though, I just have a couple things to kind of share with you about stuff going on here at Grace. If you've been with us at all the last 3 or 4 months, you know that we've been making a big effort to get out into our community and to care for local businesses and local restaurants in our community. So each week we pick a new restaurant to invade with our stomachs and our pocketbooks, probably the same thing. And so this week we have chosen Breadwinner's Cafe. And this is a restaurant in Old Town Arvada. It's just a little bit east of there on Grandview. It's a great, great place. I've had their food catered before at like different events, but I've also eaten there as well. And I just encourage you, if you get the opportunity this week, to go over there, grab a meal, enjoy some really good food, and a really good time. So don't miss that opportunity. Also, coming up here in a couple weeks on May 7th, our Grace Kids Ministry is hosting a movie night here at Grace, and they're going to watch the movie Brave. It's a Disney Pixar movie with Merida. She's got red curly hair, shoots bow and arrow. It's really cool. Anyone? Okay, good. Yeah, really good movie, and we encourage you to come out. The movie is free. Come and enjoy it. They are going to be selling pizza and popcorn and drinks there. All those proceeds will go towards Grace Kids Extreme, which is our summer outreach for Grace Kids, that where we go to a park and just have an amazing time. And so all the proceeds from that will go to that, and so I encourage you, be there. Don't miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, well, let's dive in. We're in our third week of this series, Hope Rising, and I just want to encourage you, as we're in your third week, that means there were 2 weeks that already happened. If you missed either of them, go check them out. Check them out on our website. Go check them out on our app. You can see them there, especially last week. Last week, we had our baptism services. Who was there for that? Yes. Let me tell you this. If you don't know, 82 people last weekend got baptized here at Grace. 82. Yes, 82 people declared in front of everyone that they want to live their life for Jesus Christ. And let me say this too, 40 people in all 4 services also placed their faith in Jesus. 40 people trusted in Christ last week as well. So that's amazing. It was such an awesome, awesome weekend last weekend. Go back, watch them. You can actually watch all 4. We put them all up on our app and website. You can binge watch all 4 of them if you want to see all the different people getting baptized. I encourage you to do it. It was so much fun. You can hear different testimonies as well that are really impactful and really powerful and moving. So don't miss that opportunity. So today, we're going to continue this series on hope, and we're going to be diving into what real hope looks like. We're going to look at what it is, and then we're going to look at what the effect that it has on us. When we have that real hope, how does that affect us? So go ahead, if you have notes, if you got notes, or if you got something to write down, take it out right now. I kind of want to start here. If as we're talking about hope, I want you to write this down. Hope is not optimism. Hope, real hope, is not optimism. Optimism is psychological, not theological. Optimism's great, by the way. I am an optimist, and annoyingly so a lot of the times. But I think optimism is really great. Being optimistic is a great thing, but it's not the same thing as hope. Optimism is a state of mind. It's assuming or anticipating the best possible outcome in this scenario. That's kind of what optimism is. Hope isn't optimism. Hope is something a lot deeper. Hope is something concrete. Where optimism is guessing and positive thinking, hope, real hope, is solid. Real hope is immovable. Now, there's kind of 3 general types of hope. The first type of hope is this. It's a wishing on a star hope. It's that, like, man, I really hope the Rockies make the playoffs this year kind of hope. It's never going to happen. All right? It's that kind of wishing on a star kind of hope. It's that, hey, man, I really hope I got a good grade on my test. Did you study? Yeah, about 10 minutes before. That kind of hope. That's what that hope is. And the hope I win the lottery this year because I'm totally due. Not going to happen hope. But wishing on a star hope because it could happen. There's the tiniest possibility. The next kind is this confident expectancy hope. And this one's a little bit, this one gets a little bit further down the road. Confident expectancy. It's this, I'm hopeful everything's going to work out, you know. Maybe it's, I know someone and they're going to put in a good word for me. So I have a really good feeling about this. I think that's a good way to define this hope. It's just, I got a really good feeling about this. And then third, and this is the hope we're talking about today. This is it. It's guaranteed certainty hope. This is guaranteed certainty. And this hope isn't based on a feeling or a hunch at all. This isn't based on circumstances. This is an unshakable hope. This is the one that says, I have no doubt that God has a plan in this, that no matter the outcome, God is faithful. That's what this hope is. That's what real hope is. So if you've placed your faith in Jesus, this is the hope that you have. Our hope isn't that everything is going to go perfect, okay? That's unrealistic, right? Because we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a sinful world, and we are sinful. In case you don't know, the moment we're born, we are born with sin. And so the whole dream of living in this perfect world, and it's not going to happen, okay? So our hope isn't that everything's always going to go my way. Our hope is that whatever happens, God has it, right? Whatever happens, He's faithful. That's our hope. Real hope is based on God's word, not my wishes. Real hope is based on God's word and not my wishes, not my feelings, not my circumstances, not the amount of money I have in my bank account or not in the job that I have or don't have. My hope's not based on those things because those things can change all the time, right? Ebbs and flows of life, right? Different seasons of life. Those things can change. Only God is constant. You know, Pastor Rick shared a verse a couple weeks back, and this is kind of our foundation verse for this series, Hope Rising. This is kind of our anchor verse for this series. And every week, the more that we understand hope, the more we understand about it, the more I believe this verse comes alive. Look at this verse in Hebrews 6. So it's impossible for God to lie. For we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. I love that picture. Think about that. We've run to his heart to hide ourselves within his faithfulness. And this is where we find strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. He empowers us to seize an unshakable hope. And we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Underline that last line. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. I love this. Real hope lives here. Real hope is in God's word. We find our strength and our comfort in his faithfulness. That's what that verse said. He empowers us to seize this unshakable hope. And that hope is like an unbreakable anchor. That means we're eternally anchored to him. There's nothing else in this world that fades and goes away and comes back again and goes away. We're anchored to him. All of our strength, all of our comfort comes from our hope in God. I don't know about you, but everything in this passage, this verse right here, these two verses, it makes me feel more courageous. It makes me feel more confident every single day. Every single time I read it, it just gives me that confidence. I encourage you on days that you're feeling anxious, on days that maybe you're feeling a little bit lost, a little bit vulnerable, just a little bit maybe worried about whatever's going on, I encourage you to come back to this verse and allow it to be your reminder, your refocuser, that you are anchored to God himself, that he holds you, that he's got you. So what is real hope? Well, hope starts, realistically, hope starts with God's love for us. That's where hope starts, and it starts with God's son, Jesus, because first you need to know how much God loves you, and then we start from there, and then you can really begin to understand hope. Let me tell you how much God loves you. I already said a little bit earlier that when we're born, we're all born with sin, right? We're all born imperfect, stained with sin, and sin separates us from God's love. Sin is the big separator from God's love, and God knew this, so this is how much God loves you. God sent his only son, Jesus. This is John 3:16. For God loved the world so much. The world meaning us, you, me. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, his perfect son, Jesus, to come and pay the price, to pay for our sins, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, all sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, all of them. Jesus came and he paid that price because God loved us so much. And so Jesus died for our sins. And then the Bible said on the third day he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death once and for all. We have been set free from our sins. That barrier that had separated us from spending eternity with God has been broken down. And the Bible says all we need to do is believe that Jesus did that for you. If you place your faith in him, if you trust in Jesus, you believe in him and you receive that free gift of salvation, then we get to spend eternity with God. Then we are freed from that sin. Then we can actually finally experience real hope. That's how much God loves you. He loves you enough to send his only son to die for you. And God's love lasts forever. And it isn't based on how good we are. Thank the Lord. Right? It's not based on all the stuff that we have done right or haven't done right or we've screwed up or not screwed up. It's not based on any of that. God's love isn't conditional and it can't be taken away. It lasts forever. And because of that never-ending hope and because of his faithfulness and his love, we can experience that real hope. And his hope lasts forever. Remember, that verse said his hope is a strong, unbreakable anchor that holds us to him always. Real hope isn't a mirage. It's not something that's out there that you can't quite get to. That's not real hope. It doesn't come and go with the change of seasons or circumstances in your life. Real hope withstands anything. Real hope is unmoved. Listen to this in Jeremiah 17. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Circle that. It doesn't say blessed are those who have made the world their hope and confidence. It doesn't say blessed are those who are making enough money to make it in this world. No, it doesn't say any of that. It's whoever has made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. And such trees, those kind of trees, based on his hope, they're not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. I love this verse. We're going to live here for a few minutes because I want to unpack this. This verse paints an amazingly beautiful and vivid picture. Just think about this. When our hope is in God, when our confidence is in him, and not in other people or not in politicians, masks, when our hope is in him and not money or the job that we're going to get that's going to get us out of this. I mean, how many times have we thought that? Man, if I just get this job, then things are going to turn around. When our hope is actually in him, the Bible says that our roots grow so deeply in God that we're not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Now, what does he mean by that? Bothered by the heat, worried, and long months of drought. Well, he's not talking about the summertime, okay? He's talking about those times when everything around us feels like it's just too much, right? He's talking about those times when it feels like, man, I just can't seem to catch a break. Man, I just think things just can't, they just never work out for me. Those times. He's talking about those times, and he's saying that, yes, there's going to be seasons that are great in our lives. There's going to be seasons that are a little bit harder, but if our hope is in God, if our confidence is in him and not all that other stuff, then not only are we not going to die from it, but our leaves are going to stay green. And not only are they going to stay green, but he says that we're never going to stop producing fruit. So we're going to grow through those seasons. We're going to grow through every season when our roots are deeply planted in God. When our hope and confidence is rooted in him, we get to produce fruit no matter what the season is, no matter what the circumstances, no matter if I lose my job, if I lose all my money, if my health goes down, If this world spins sideways, whatever happens, no matter what happens, if my hope is in him, I'm never going to stop growing. We're never going to stop producing fruit. When we trust in the Lord and we put our confidence in him, our security in life, our confidence and our hope will never be shaken. It won't be moved no matter what's going on around us. And you know what's so cool about this is way bigger than just us. This principle is way bigger than just us. I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you mind just trusting me for a second here? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Now, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to throw anything at you or anything like that. If someone else does, it's not my fault. But I'm not going to do that. If you're watching online, do it with me unless you're driving. So eyes are closed. And I just want you to imagine something for me. Imagine a desert. Just imagine a desert. There's sand everywhere. And imagine you're standing in that desert. And it's just you. And you've been walking in this desert for days now. And you're tired. You've got no food. You haven't had water. There's no shade, no rest, no nothing, no shelter. You're hot. Your throat is so dry, it feels like there's glass in the back of it. You got nothing left, and you're not sure how much more you can take. You're not sure how much longer you can push on, especially when you can't see any sign of hope. And so you survey and you look again for any sign of anything at all. And you look to your right, and over to the right in the distance, you see something that is extremely strange in the middle of a desert, but it is a giant tree. And it's not a dead tree, but it is a giant tree with beautiful green leaves. And you haven't seen anything for days. You're like, I'm heading there. I don't care if it's a mirage or not. I'm heading there, and I'm praying that it's not a mirage. And so you get there. And not only is that tree real, not only is there shade here, but there's also food. There's fruit. There's water. There's a place to rest and sit. There's everything that you dreamed you could find. And so you sit in that shade and you rest your weary body. And you eat and you eat and you drink and you sleep. And this tree never runs out of food, of shade, of water. I'm going to read this verse. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. I'm going to read this verse again. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Go ahead and open your eyes. There's a lot of people on this planet right now walking through the desert just begging to find that tree. There's a lot of people in your life probably that are walking through that desert. People you know, maybe it's you, just begging for that oasis, begging for that opportunity to rest. And here's the thing. When we're rooted in Jesus, when our hope and our confidence in him is in him, we are that tree in that desert. You are that tree in that desert, that oasis in the middle of nowhere, and people will notice, and people will run to sit in the shade and run to eat and rest and drink. When we have that kind of hope that is rooted in him, it will attract other people. And hope in the Lord is not just about us being deeply rooted in him, which is awesome, which is what we want. But hope in the Lord is also about being that tree, that oasis that people come to, that beacon of hope, that beacon of light. Why? So people can come hang out with us? No. So we can point them to the source of our hope. That's what we get to do. That's what this is about. This is about us being rooted deeply, but it's also about God using us and allowing us to be a light in that desert, a tree in that desert for him, so that people have someone to run to that can point them to Jesus. That's what we get to do. That's what we're called to do. That's what real hope looks like. Hope that anchors us and enables us to shine bright and be an oasis in that desert. When we got real hope rooted in Jesus, we can experience life in a brand new way. And that's the kind of hope that God intended it to be. When we have real hope, write this down, we have security that everything's going to be okay. I have security that everything's going to be okay. Pastor Rick shared in the very first week of this series, he shared about the reality of heaven and the hope that comes from the reality of heaven, knowing that when we place our faith in Jesus, we're guaranteed a place in heaven. The second, the moment you believe in Jesus, the moment you place your faith in him and you trust in him, there is a place in heaven for you, already reserved. And nothing we can do can take that from us. Nothing we can do. And so even in the worst case scenario, we still have hope that we're spending forever in heaven, right? Praise God. Even the worst case scenario is great news because of the hope we have in Jesus. And in our day-to-day lives, the Bible tells us that because of the hope we have in God, we can be secure in knowing that God's never going to waste a second of our lives. He doesn't waste a second. He's so intentional. He's so purposeful in how he cares for us because of who he is, because of his character, because of his faithfulness. We're hopeful even in the hardest of times. Listen to this in Romans 5. He says, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence. Underline that. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and that patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope, don't miss this, this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I love, can you just envision that? We can now experience this endless love of God cascading into our hearts. God's faithfulness, his track record, he proves it, that even in the rubble, God is still moving. He's still working. He's still making use of both those good times and those hard times to strengthen us, to make us more like him, to remind us of the hope that we have in him, that no matter what happens, God's not wasting a second of our life. We can be secure that he has us and that everything's going to be okay, even if we can't see a way through. Because there's a lot of times we're sitting there like, God, I don't know how I'm supposed to get through this. But he sees, he knows, he gets us through. We talked about Psalm 23 a few weeks ago. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's so many days that we are walking literally through the darkest valley. It feels like it, right? But what a great reminder that the shepherd is there, that God is there, that Jesus is there, and that his rod and his staff, not only do they guide us through, but they comfort us. We can be secure in that, that he is there every step of the way. Romans 8:38 says this. This is our security. So now I live with the confidence that there's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Underline that, circle it. You're going to use a lot of ink today, and I have no problem with that because these verses are amazing. Let me read that again. Let it sink in. Now I live with the confidence there's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. His love will triumph over troubles, life's troubles, fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens. There's nothing in our present circumstances or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There's no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He lavishes that love on us. That lavish, I looked this up, it's bestowing in a generous or extravagant amount. Massive quantities, basically. God is dumping massive quantities of love all over us. That verse we read earlier, just right before, that endless love of God cascading into our hearts, that's what he's doing. We can live in the confidence, knowing that there's nothing that can ever separate us from God's love. And we know that his love triumphs over life's troubles. all the stuff we're going through. So I want you to do something. Take a deep breath right now. He's got you. He's always had you. Always. He's got you now. He's got you 10 minutes from now. 10 months, 10 years. He's got you. He is unbeatable. He is unshakable. His love is unstoppable. And he's on your side. Listen, everything might not always go the way we planned it. It's probably better. Our plans stink sometimes. But it doesn't matter because it's okay. We're secure in his love for us. Also, having real hope means that there's freedom from guilt and shame. Real hope means that there is freedom from guilt and shame. There's forgiveness. There's redemption for us all. I mean, think of it this way. God already knows you're not perfect. I don't know if you're trying to pull the wool over on his eyes. He's not fooled. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we mess up all the time. And yet, think about this. He knows that. And then think about the last two verses we read. Remember how much he loves us? Remember how his love covers over all of it? He loves us so much, even though we are so imperfect. Praise God. He cares about us. And here's the deal. He doesn't want us living paralyzed by our guilt and our shame. That's not what he wants for us. That's not what he wants for you. Those memories you can't shake, those regrets that keep you up at night, those words that you wish you could unsay, the things that you did that you wish that you could undo, all of those things that kind of haunt our thoughts, right? Those can be a prison for us. Those actually can keep us from living. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that at all. Listen, we obviously can't go back in time and we can't change things, right? No matter how much we'd like to. So what do we do? What do we do with that guilt and shame that sometimes pops up, that some of us carry around all the time? What do we do? Well, whatever the source of our guilt and shame is, here's what we can do. Own your part of it. Ask for forgiveness. Learn from it. And then live like the forgiven child of God that you are. Live like the forgiven child of God that you are. Unless it's part of the healing process, stop living in your failures. Stop living carrying this guilt and shame that you can't do anything about. It's in the past. Own your part of it. Learn from it. Ask for forgiveness. And then live like the forgiven child of God that you are. That's what he wants from us. And then praise him. Praise him for his faithfulness. Praise him for his forgiveness, for his grace and his mercy. Listen to this in Micah 7. Where is another God like you? There isn't any. Who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people. You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. Underline that. He delights in showing unfailing love. Once again, you're going to have compassion on us. Remember, we screw up a lot. Once again, he keeps having compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love. Every part of this verse, all of it, every part of it is hope. Every part of it is courage because it's rooted in him. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't mean that there's not consequences for our sins, right? I mean, there are. You know, when we blow it, there's going to be fallout. So we got to own that and we got to navigate it. But here's the deal. We don't have to live under this cloud of guilt. We don't have to live under a cloud of shame. God, as we just read, has compassion on us. His faithfulness and his unfailing love, they redeem us. And they set us free from the weight of guilt and shame. Jesus' death and his resurrection paid for all of our sins, and they set us free. We've been set free. The moment we place our faith in him, the Bible says we've been set free. Listen to Romans 8. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Circle that. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Don't miss that. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We have been set free, praise God. We've been set free. We admit that we're sinners, yes, but then we embrace also that we're forgiven, and we got to start living like that. Embrace that you've been forgiven. We can't change our past, but we can learn from it, and we can allow it to affect our future, right? In great ways. In great ways. Listen, God's not done with you yet. If you're still breathing, He's not done. He's not done. He's got great plans for you. He is still working in you and working through you. He's got huge plans. We just got to let Him do it. You got to embrace it and live set free. You know, something else that's so amazing, when we live with that real hope, like when we live each and every day with that real hope, you know what we can't do? We can't stop worshiping our God. We can't stop worshiping our God. The result of having that real hope is this unadulterated worship of God alone. And unadulterated, I realize, is a bigger word. It just means pure. It means untainted or untouched. That pure worship of God alone. That when we have our hope rooted to Him, we're going to live a life that honors God, that worships God, right? You can't help it. When we live with that confidence, God is glorified by the confidence we have in Him. He is honored by the confidence that we have in Him when we walk around each and every day. When we follow His wisdom, He's honored by that. When we seek His wisdom, He is honored by that. That is worship. We're living in response to who He is, to all that He's done, all that He's doing in our lives right now, and all that He's promised to do. All that our minds can't even wrap around. All the great things He's going to do in the future. And when we do that, when we live that way, we can't help but be thankful. And worship looks a lot of different ways. Worship can be just obedience. It could be prayer. It could be loving your neighbor. It is. When you love your neighbor, that is worship to God. He is honored because you are loving your neighbor as God has called us to do, right? When we sing, like we were doing earlier, that's worship. That's worship. When we enjoy God's creation, that's worship. When we just have a thankful heart, He is honored by that. That is worship to Him. Look at 1 Peter. He says this, "Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us His extravagant mercy. For His fountain of mercy has given us a new life." Underline that. For His fountain of mercy has given us a new life, and we are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love that picture, that His fountain of mercy has given us a new life. Because when I think of a fountain, I think of water that's alive and can't be contained, right? And that's God's mercy for us. That's His love for us. It is alive and it can't be contained. And what happens when you stand too close to a fountain? What happens? You get wet. We get wet. God's mercy and His love is overflowing for us. And then His desire is to overflow us so that the people around us get wet. The people around us are affected by His love and His mercy and His hope. God's love and mercy cannot be contained. And in the midst of that hope right there, we can't help but praise Him. Psalm 95 says, "Come and kneel before this Creator God. Come and bow before the mighty God, our majestic Maker. For we are those He cares for, and He is the God we worship." You know, I love the reverence for God in this verse, that come and kneel, come and bow. You know, in light of who God is there any better posture we can take? Kneeling before our God, bowing before Him, falling on our face, praising. Thank you, God, for your love overflowing. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. He and He alone deserves our praise and our worship, our loyalty, our adoration. He deserves that. And when we truly live for Him, our worship overflows. It's just a natural thing. And finally, the real hope that we have in Him brings absolute joy and peace. Absolute joy and peace. And that's a joy that can't be taken away. And that's a peace that exists even in the hardest of times. True joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Real joy is not dependent on how great your day is going or how terrible your day is going or the good things that seem to happen or bad things. That doesn't affect real joy. True joy is being loved by our Savior, resting in and on the hope that we have in Him, because our God is always faithful. So nothing's going to stop Him from loving us. And that means joy is never ending. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. He talks in the book of Philippians about this peace that God gives us, this peace that He gives us that strengthens us. And this peace, he says, it passes all understanding. It transcends our understanding. We can't even understand it. That peace that comes when we're going through the hardest stuff in life, when we've hit rock bottom, and yet God says, it's okay. And we're like, I don't know why I feel like everything's okay right now. The world around me is on fire, but I'm doing all right. That kind of peace. That's the peace that God promises us. Listen to this in Philippians 4. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Go ahead and underline that first line. That's a great call for us. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. And let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing, but be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. And then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Think about those things, he says, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Put into practice the example of all that you've heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Seriously, God is so good to us. He's so good to us. He says, don't worry about a thing. He says, just tell me what's troubling you, and I'll give you this peace that'll strengthen your heart and your mind. Just tell me what's going on. Just trust me. Are there things in your life that lead you to doubt? Are there things in your life that cause you to worry, that cause temptation, that bring you back into that guilt and shame? Are there things in your life that take you there? So Paul says when those moments come, he says when those thoughts come, he says change the channel. Change the channel. Start thinking of something else. And not just start thinking of something else. This is what he says. Fix your thoughts on what is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. He says, when that kind of stuff, when Satan starts whispering in your ear how you're not good enough, how you're a failure, how you're not worth anything, change the channel. You know, I don't know why, but when my mind goes to those places, the Spirit continually brings me back to this verse. And it's just, hey, change the channel, Jason. So I just pick up this Bible, turn anywhere. You could turn to Numbers and read about genealogies of where people came from. So great. So rich. Even if you turn there, you're changing the channel. You're not thinking about what you were, right? God's word pulls us out of it all. God's word rescues us from it all. He refocuses. He reminds us of who we are. Realistically, you should take this outline home. Every single one of these verses will pull you back to his hope, to his uncontainable love for you. That's where we turn. So when those thoughts, when those times come, when we start feeling weak, turn there. Change the channel. Change the channel. God's desire for us is to have peace, not have turmoil. He wants us to have peace. That's what he wants for us. And he wants us to have joy in all seasons, not just the great seasons, but the hard ones too. He wants us to have peace and joy overflowing. Listen to this in Romans 15. Now may God, the fountain of hope, there it is again, fill you, not just fill you up, but fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. Who wants that? I want uncontainable joy and perfect peace. I'll take some. I'll just take it if you just fill me up with it. But he wants to go one step further and overflow us. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with a superabundance until you radiate with hope. Real hope can only come from God, the fountain of hope. That's it. And he wants to fill you to the point of overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace. So if you trust in him, go live like that. Live in his freedom. If you believe that he is faithful, then live like that. If you believe that he's the way, then follow him. If you believe that he has all the answers, then turn to where his answers are located time and time again. He is the source of our hope. His word is alive and it's calling us to greater things today. Listen to this in Isaiah 43. But forget all that. And let me say, right before this verse, he was talking about how he parted the Red Sea and led his people through it and then closed it up on all the Egyptians as they were chasing him. Okay. He says, after he talks about it, he goes, you know what? Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've actually already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. If I look back in my life, I can clearly see the wilderness that I wandered into time and time again, but every single time, God created a pathway through it. Every single time I was in that dry wasteland, there was a river that got me out. Maybe you're in the wilderness, right? Maybe you're in the wasteland right now. Maybe you're just desperately seeking for that oasis, that tree in the middle of the desert. It's there. That oasis is Jesus. He is our oasis. He's the only hope that matters. Any hope that can be found in this world, whether it's hope in money or hope in your job, hope in people, hope in yourself. Oh, I'll figure it out. I'm pretty self-sufficient. I can do this. Any of that, that ebbs and flows. That's gone in a heartbeat. It just is. The hope we find in Jesus is eternal and nothing can take it away. It doesn't matter if your circumstances change, God's hope remains the same. There's such confidence in that hope, such security, such peace that comes when we rest and trust in his faithfulness. We all want that kind of hope, right? That's the hope we want. Well, as Christians, let me tell you this, that hope is already there for you. If you've already placed your faith in Jesus, so then allow his faithfulness to strengthen your mind and your body every single day. Allow his faithfulness to give you the confidence that everything's going to be okay. To give you that confidence that can never be taken away from you, that hope in him. If you're not already, start living in that reality of God's hope. Start today. And if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, I want to give you that chance to do that right now. I want to give you that chance to experience real, genuine hope in your life, to experience that forgiveness and peace and freedom from guilt and shame. I want you to have that uncontainable joy and perfect peace because it's there for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Just everybody, just for a minute. Earlier, I shared just how much God loves you. In fact, we shared a lot of that. But that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. That Jesus died for your sins and then he rose again, conquering sin and death once and for all. And if we place our faith in him, if we believe in him, we will receive that free gift of salvation and we'll be able to experience that hope. That unshakable, unbreakable hope that anchors us to him. Always. hope that never leaves you. And all we have to do to know that hope is to trust in him. Believe that Jesus did that for you. And so if today you're saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need the hope that only comes from you. And I've tried so hard, but I can't do it on my own. I need you. If that's you, then right now, right where you are, just put your trust in him. Just say silently in your mind, just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong. But right now, I believe that Jesus died to save me, to wash my sins away, and to bring hope. And I believe that he's risen, and I receive his free gift of salvation. I believe and I trust in you, God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time right now, if you placed your faith in him, I just want to pray for you. I'd love to know who you are. And so in a moment, I'm going to have you just slip your hand up. And raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know who you are. Lets me know that you understood. And so if today, for the first time, you placed your faith in Jesus, would you just slip your hand up right now? Just slip it up. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that when even one person places their faith in Jesus, the angels are celebrating. And I know that with heads bowed, there are people in this room celebrating too. And if you placed your faith in Jesus, we really would love to know who you are so we can answer any questions for you about this new faith, walk alongside you in your journey. If you have a moment at some point, just shoot us a text. Just text the word believe to the number 720-895-9000. That's our church number. If you just text that number, someone will be back in touch with you and be able to start you on that journey. For all of us, let's just pray. God, thank you for the hope that we have in you. The unshakable, unbreakable hope that we have in you. And God, we thank you that when we are trusting in you and we trust in your hope, that we plant deep roots. And that even the harshest winds and weather can't move us because of you. God, my prayer is that you would help us to be those trees bursting forth in the desert, or that we would be a light to the world around us, that we would have hope overflowing, joy overflowing, perfect peace in our lives, and that would be a light for this world, and that people would want to know the source of that hope, and we can point everyone back to you, God. And so, God, we commit to living in that hope for you, truly living in that hope, unshakable hope. God, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.